Man, that is a beautiful song. Thank you, Chuck and Debbie. And while they were singing, I'm thinking, Mom and Dad's there, my grandparents are there, many good friends are there. The streets are gold, the gates are pearl, the temperature is about 72 degrees. Well, that's what I would like anyway. And it's heaven. There's a mansion, there's an inheritance, there's all these things. But the best thing about heaven is Jesus is there, and to see Him. First of all, that's a beautiful song. Thank you so much. Keep your place in the book of Genesis and turn, if you will, to Luke 17. Luke 17, and we will go back to Genesis, but I did want to give you the title that is from Luke 17 and the reference Jesus makes to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Luke 17 and verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And verse 32 is the title of the message, Remember Lot's Wife. Remember Lot's Wife. We read in Genesis what happened to Lot's wife and what a terrible thing. The Bible says in verse 26 of Genesis 19, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. The context of Luke is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of Christ, the thing that we look forward to as Christians, the thing that we're excited about, and certainly that will be preceded by the rapture of the church. We'll be taken out of here, and there will be 7 years tribulation on this earth. But I think the message is very, very clear when Jesus is saying, remember Lot's wife, be ready. Don't look back at this world. Don't even look at this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You better be ready. You better be prepared. Remember Lot's wife who was not prepared. The Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. I pray for your guidance, your direction for us today as we go through your word. Teach us what you want to teach us. Holy Spirit, convict us. Deal with us. Help us, Lord, first of all, to be saved. I pray that everyone here is. And help us not to be so attached to this world that we would let anything keep us from salvation. Help us to be ready to meet the Lord. And then I pray that you'll help Christians all over this place to realize that we should be a good influence on those that are not ready, and those that are lost. And Lord, certainly Lot was not that. With his own wife. And so speak to our hearts today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember Lot's wife. I've thought all week about those three words and pondered the different things about Lot's wife that we would need to remember. And, you know, the thing that seems so obvious to me, the Bible says in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. And certainly she was not prepared. I would say that in a crowd this large, there are folks not prepared to meet God today. We go to a funeral and we start thinking a little bit about death and the reality of it. But then we walk away and we sort of forget about the fact that the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. I mean, after that, you face God. And we need to be prepared to do that. Now, if you're here today and you're not prepared, you are like Lot's wife. And I think there might be some other similarities that you will see as well. I mean, prepare to meet thy God is one of the messages, I think, with the words, remember Lot's wife. She wasn't ready. She was too attached to the world and she looked back and she had been told not to look back. She wasn't ready. But also, I think about another part of the message that I've thought of. And it's one of the saddest things as I think of remember Lot's wife. I mean, she was lost in spite of knowing as much as Lot knew. You understand, she perished though she knew the truth. She perished even though she knew what to do. She perished even though she was in a movement away from the city, and she was going in the right direction, it seemed, but she perished even though all of that was happening. And you know, it makes me think of all the religious people maybe here today. Oh, you say, well, I'm in church, I'm in good shape. But you may be in church and be lost. And how sad to think. Remember Lot's wife. And I think if we consider some things. By the way, what if you're Lot? What if you have a spouse who is lost? What if you have a loved one who is not saved? What if you have a co-worker, and many do, who's never trusted Christ as Savior? Let me ask you a question. When Lot told them, his family, that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, the Bible says he was as one who mocked. He was, come on, Lot, you don't mean all that. I mean, you barely go to church yourself. I mean, Lot, come on, you don't read your Bible like you ought to read your Bible. You're not a consistent Christian. And I as I think of those words, remember Lot's wife, I am reminded the responsibility that I have to make sure those around me are saved, at least that they know how to be saved, and that when I maybe tell them, they don't laugh and say, well, yeah, but look at your life. So there's a lot of things to think about today. The result of Lot's wife, of course, was she perished. And anyone who disobeys God and ultimately disobeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Jesus clearly says you must be born again, they will also perish. Remember Lot's wife. And I just wrote down some things here. Number one, we see, and I wrote this down on purpose, his wife. She was his wife. She was Lot's wife. You say, yes, preacher, we understand that. Yeah, but the Bible says about Lot that he was a righteous man who vexed his soul. What's that mean? That means he was a righteous man. He knew righteousness. He knew what was right, and he had trusted the Lord as his Savior. He was a saved man, the Bible says. And his wife is the one we're talking about today that God says, remember. I mean, here's Lot. Lot is a guy who came to the Lord one day and said, hey, I'm a sinner and I deserve punishment in hell, but I want to be saved. That was Lot. Lot was a righteous man, but he was a righteous man that kind of went along with the world. He was a righteous man in his heart. He was saved, but he wasn't real faithful to church. He was a righteous man in his heart. He had trusted the Lord as his Savior, but he didn't read his Bible much. He was a righteous man, but he watched the things that unrighteous men do. He was a righteous man, but he went to the places the unrighteous went to. He was a righteous man, but he talked about the things that the unrighteous talked about. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, this was his wife that God says to remember. Remember Lot's wife. And as you remember Lot's wife today, I want you to think about yourself. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Or are you as unprepared as Lot's wife was? And then secondly, what kind of an influence are you on the lost that are around you? Because this was his wife. In my mind, I imagine them as a happy couple. I imagine him saying over and over again, I love you. I imagine Lot, of course, because he was a leader in the city, I imagine him many times showing off his wife and saying, this is my wife, and I love her, and I'm very proud of her. And hey, this was his wife. This was not somebody that was just a casual acquaintance. This was somebody that he would say that he loved. This was somebody that he would say that we're going to spend the rest of our days together. We're going to grow old together. We're going to enjoy our senior years. This was his wife. And the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Lot was okay. Lot went to the little city that God told him to go to, and God didn't destroy that city. And she could have been there too, but no. Remember Lot's wife. She perished. She turned into a pillar of salt. It was his wife. It was Lot's wife. Turn to 2 Peter 2. Keep your place here. 2 Peter 2. And verse 7. Verse 6. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. Delivered just Lot. Lot's just. Lot, he's justified. Verse 8 says he's a righteous man. But notice what is, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was saved. He was a righteous man, but he lived just like an unrighteous man. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now I want you to ask yourself, because again, the message is remember Lot's wife. Do you know somebody like that? Sir, is it your wife? Ma'am, is it your husband? Is it a mom? Is it a dad? Is it a child? Is it a co-worker? Is it an aunt? Is it an uncle? Is it a grandma? Is it a grandpa? Is it somebody you know that is lost? And if you came to them and you said, hey, listen, judgment time is here, would they mock you because your life is inconsistent with that? Remember Lot's wife, because that's what happened to Lot's wife. It was his wife. Here's listen to me. In this whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, there weren't very many righteous people. Certainly there weren't very many that were doing right, because Lot was a righteous person, but he wasn't even doing right. We know there were under 10 righteous people because of what the Bible says in previous verses. In a whole city of maybe 100,000 people, you say, well, preacher, what are you supposed to happen to Lot? Oh, Lot knew what, he knew how to do right. Abraham, his uncle, did right. Abraham, his uncle, was, I mean, he was a good example. Lot had absolutely no excuse for becoming like everybody else in the city. Whereas he could have stood up and been a bright and shining light to the people. We don't know what all Lot did, except for what the Bible says, that he pretty much, he lived just like the rest of them. And he lost his wife. Because the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Who would you lose today? Who would it be? Let's say Jesus came right here in the next couple of minutes and the rapture took place and we're all gone. Who'd be left behind that you know? Who'd be left behind and you know in your own heart it'd be because you've been inconsistent? Oh yeah, preacher, I'm saved. I got saved and I got baptized and I know the Lord but you know, I really haven't been a good example to those guys at work. I really haven't been a very good example to my loved ones. I haven't been a real good example to my children. I haven't been a good example. And the truth of the matter is, that's exactly what Jesus, remember Lot's wife. Yeah, next time you look at that loved one who's lost, remember Lot's wife, please. I can only imagine when Lot realized his wife, a woman he loved, a woman that gave him his children, a woman they had plans, they were gonna die old together. I'm talking about somebody that was his wife, and he saw her perish. Yeah. When the Bible says, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but when the Bible says that his family mocked him, in my mind, I see his wife kind of roll her eyes too. Come on, Lot. You don't ever talk about God. Come on, Lot. You don't ever get the Bible out and read it. You don't ever pray, Lot. I've watched you many, many times. You don't pray. I mean, Lot, you hang around at the gate there with all the others and they're telling all their dirty jokes and you're listening. Come on, Lot. And in my mind, I see her kind of rolling her eyes when he says, God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's like, come on, Lot. People are watching us. Amen? Our neighbors are watching us. Your coworkers, your loved ones. One of the first things that really hit me when I first got saved as a teenager, 17-year-old boy, out of a family that didn't go to church. My family was not saved. But it hit me that I wanted them to get saved more than anything in this world. And it hit me that they were watching every move I made. They were watching everything. And I'm just saying this. She was his wife. Lot's wife. Just to give you a little idea about Lot and his spirituality. He's heard and he's been told they need to leave. But verse 16, and while he lingered, see, even Lot. By the way, when you are warning people about something you're not totally convinced about, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, he lingered himself. The angel said, we're going to destroy, God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot, I think, you know, hey, you need to get everybody out of here. Get your family out. Take away all your possessions. I mean, the whole city's going to be gone. It's going to be wiped out. And Lot himself wasn't thoroughly convinced because he lingered. You know what? If you're not thoroughly convinced there's a hell, you'll have a hard time convincing any lost people there's a hell. I challenge you, read Luke 16 this afternoon. Read the scriptures. There's more in the Bible about hell than there is about heaven. We like to talk about heaven. We love to hear songs about heaven. I'm still rejoicing over the song a little while ago. But let's be honest, folks. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. And if you're not convinced, you're going to have a hard time convincing those who are lost around you. I just am reminding you what Jesus said. Remember Lot's wife. Maybe your wife, maybe your spouse, maybe your brother, your sister, your nephew, your niece, your grandma, your grandpa, your grandchildren, your daughter, your son, your coworker, your neighbor. Yeah, his wife. Number two, we see her warning. Her warning, very clearly, verse 15, Genesis 19. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. I mean, she was warned. Special message from God. She was warned. Escape for your life. No person goes to hell without a warning from God. You're here today without Christ. You've been warned. There is a hell. It is eternal. It is fire. It is not here on this earth. It is not a place where you and your buddies can go drink beer. It's a terrible place of torture and punishment. It was not made for man. It was made for the devil and his demons. But it is a place of punishment and judgment for sin. But Jesus died on the cross, so you don't have to go there. And you can be saved by calling upon Jesus Christ. I warn you today, and that's the job of the church. Amen. That's what we do in Sunday school. That's what the bus route's all about. That's what our ministries are all about. They're all about the warning, telling people there's a hell. It's real. And as Lot's wife was warned, people are warned. In verse 16, it talks about God being merciful. And you know what? He is merciful. He wants to show His mercy. I've had people say, well, you know, if God sends people to hell, I don't want anything to do with God. Oh, no, let me tell you something. God made a way so no one has to go to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. People choose. Because you don't have to go to hell. Her warning. And I think about the warnings in the Bible. Certainly there's warnings about hell. Certainly there's warnings in the Bible about chastening. Certainly there's warnings in the Bible about whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I mean, it's very clear in the Scripture. There are many, many, many warnings. I know before I got saved, I had all kinds of warnings about needing to be saved. People hand me gospel tracts. I've talked about those things. Soul winners approached me. I mean, people talked to me. I'd go to church, and I had the wrong motives in going to church, but I'd go to church, and I'd hear a preacher preach about it. I mean, I had plenty of warning. Thank God He gives us a warning. Hey, He's given us a warning that He's coming again. We need to be ready. The warnings are clear in Scripture, just as Lot's wife. Number one, his wife. Number two, her warning. Number three, her works. Her works. Because here's the thing about Lot's wife that really stands out to me. And to me, she would have been the church person. She went to church, like with Lot. I mean, Lot, you know, if something more important came up, he probably didn't go to church. And certainly she wouldn't have been there either. But I mean, her works were pretty good works, really. We don't know of anything really bad. The Bible doesn't say anything about her vexing her soul. Bible doesn't say anything about her doing the things of the worldly people there in Sodom and Gomorrah, which, by the way, was a city known for all kinds of sexual perversion. And I'll be honest with you, it almost, as I read about Sodom and Gomorrah, I kind of look at America and think, are we becoming Sodom and Gomorrah? But I mean, she stood out as, I guarantee she stood out as somebody who was a pretty good person. I mean, she heard the warning and she partly believed. Because she ran for a while. You know, the Bible says the angels took hold of her hand and pulled her out of there. And they're running. They're running to that little city that wasn't going to be destroyed. And she ran and she ran and she partly believed, but she stopped just short. Now, I got news for you. There isn't any difference between what happened to Lot's wife and what happened to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you listening? There's no difference. Well, yeah, preacher, she didn't get hit by the fire and brimstone. No, she turned into a pillar of salt. She died, just like they died. And I got news for you. Hell is hell. Whether you go to hell as a drunk, a drug addict, a murderer, or whatever, or if you go to hell right out of church. Don't deceive yourself this morning. Remember Lot's wife. Because Lot's wife, I think she was probably a pretty good person. But she stopped just short. She couldn't forget the things behind. She couldn't obey God. She had a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. It's kind of like an unsaved person who just goes to church and thinks that's going to make everything okay. It's like an unsaved person who turns over a new leaf and thinks everything's going to be okay. Jesus said clearly, you must be born again. I am the way, He said, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We're not going to figure out our own way to do things. We're going to have to do it His way. And the angel said, don't look back. Lot didn't. His daughters didn't. But his wife did. She sort of believed. Doing the best we can ends up in failure. Doing what God said. By the way, that's why Jesus died on the cross. Because we couldn't do good enough. That's why Jesus paid it all. That's why we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He paid it all. Because you and I, hey, if it came to payment time, we're bankrupt. We can't pay. He paid it all. Amen. That's why you need to trust Him as Savior. That's why the Baptists don't have a corner on that. The Methodists don't. The Presbyterians don't. The Pentecostalists. No, listen to me. He paid it all. Not Berean Baptist Church. He paid it all. That's why I say you must be born again. Okay, not, I'm religious. I do a lot of good things. And my good work, okay, if you're counting on your good works, then you will go to hell. Because they're not good enough. Remember Lot's wife. Remember? Remember her works? She wasn't like the Sodomites. Nowhere in the Scripture does it indicate that she ever participated in any of the sinful acts of the Sodomites. Nowhere. Doesn't say a thing about her doing any of those things. She wasn't involved in their sin. In fact, understand this and listen to me carefully. Her body was outside the city. But her affections were there. How many good people will die and go to hell? But remember Lot's wife, Jesus said, because I wonder if some of those good people are people you know and they're lost. I didn't say they're not Baptist. That has nothing to do with it. They're lost without Jesus Christ. Luke 18, verse 9, real quick. Keep your place in Genesis. Luke 18. And verse 9, remember Lot's wife. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even, as he's praying, he points to the other guy praying next to him. He says, even as this publican. Then he goes on, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Watch what Jesus says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And there are so many people in our world today who are very good people as far as goodness goes. And they're even religious people, perhaps like Lot's wife. But remember Lot's wife, Jesus said? Remember what happened to her? She turned after she was told not to. And she became a pillar of salt. Though her works seemed to be pretty good. Number four, we see her weakness. Her weakness was one that so many have. She loved the world more than she loved her soul. She loved the world more than she would trust God and believe God. We go to Matthew 16 and verse 26. Matthew 16, 26 is a good warning. For whosoever will save... I'm sorry, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I don't know, maybe she thought, oh, my house... Oh, the things in my house. Oh, my china cabinet and all my antique dishes and all this stuff's going to be destroyed. She turned back after being told not to. Remember Lot's wife, her weakness. How many people will tell you as you talk to them about the Lord and you try to convince them that Jesus loves them and Jesus died on the cross for them, and they'll say, well, I just don't want to give up, and they'll name something. Usually it's a thing that they would consider sinful. Well, I don't want to give up and whatever that is. Or I don't want to quit doing. Wait, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about Jesus paid the price for your sin so you can be saved. I'm not talking about what you have to give up, what you have to do, what you... I'm talking about asking Jesus into your heart. You're here today and you say, oh, you know, I'd get saved, but I smoke, but I drink, but I want to do... I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about, do you recognize that you're a sinner? And do you recognize Jesus died to pay for your sin? And you need Him to save you, because He's the only one that can. And her weakness was, she said, you know, I don't want to let go of these things. I want these things. In Revelation 18, verse 14, it's an interesting verse. I don't have time to develop it. But Revelation 18 and verse 14, Babylon falls. And look what it says in verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. That's when Babylon falls. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Understand this. You can seek all that this world has to offer. When you die, it's gone. It means nothing. The rich man in Luke 16, the Bible says he begged for just a drop of water. You understand that rich man had more water than anybody could imagine having. I mean, he had all the water he could ever want as a rich man. But in hell, the Bible says, he lifts up his eyes being in torment, and he's begging just for one drop of water. And you know what? All his bank accounts and all that he owned and everything that he possessed and his real estate, it meant absolutely nothing in hell. I can almost hear Lot's wife. Honey, that angel told us not to look back, but I'm just really, that's my life back there. That's my house. That's all that I own. That's all the things that I possess. And I just, now, honey, don't look back. God told us. And again, Lot, you're telling me? Remember Lot's wife? And the Bible says she did look back. Because her weakness was, she was attached to this world. Her weakness was, she didn't want to do what God said. She didn't trust Him, didn't believe Him. Remember Lot's wife? Number five, we see her will. Number one, we see his wife. Number two, her warning. Number three, her works. Number four, her weakness. Number five is her will. She made a choice. She made a choice. She just couldn't let go and believe God. I can almost hear Lot, honey, listen, everything's being destroyed. God told me it was going to be destroyed, and the angel told us don't look back. And listen, I'm telling you, whatever you do, just keep looking forward. Just keep going and trust God and believe God. And she's, you know, nothing's going to happen to me. Oh, how many people in our world today? Well, when you die, you just die. That's it. Or we all go to heaven. Or, well, I've already been to hell. Hell's here on this earth. No, we need to believe God. We need to believe God, who says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that is a judgment. Remember Lot's wife. Her will, she chose. She didn't believe God about life, eternal life. She didn't believe God about death, judgment. Escape from thy life, look not behind thee. You know, if she'd have had her eyes on Jesus. But she never did get her eyes on Jesus. Again, you can't, I'm not blaming Lot. I'm just saying Lot's accountable. She made her own choice. There's folks all the time, I counsel people all the time, and it's very popular today to want to blame somebody for everything that's going wrong. That's the easiest way out of your problems, they think. It goes something like this. Well, I can't help it. I grew up like. I can't help it. These people did this to me. Hey, I can't help it. I was born into this. Are you listening? We want to just kind of blame everybody. I got news for you. When you face Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and maybe the question will be, why should I let you into heaven? You'll have nothing to say. Nothing. If you're lost, you'll have nothing to say. That's why the Bible says every mouth should be stopped. Well, but it was my husband's fault. He's accountable. He was a terrible, terrible, terrible testimony. But it was still her choice. Her will was done. Understand, unsaved people perish not because of the number of sins they commit. It's because of their sin nature. The Bible says if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. That's how, you know, Lot's wife, she wasn't like the Sodomites. I mean, we might look at that and say, well, you know, they all deserve to die in the fire and brimstone. But Lot's wife, she seemed like such a nice, you hear it all the time, oh, they just seem like such a nice person. But if they're not saved, they're lost. Remember Lot's wife. Let me give you another verse. Hebrews 10, couple verses here. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. We're just about done. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Powerful couple of verses here. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that's all. Listen, that's exactly what happened to Lot's wife. She drew back because she did not believe. And that was her choice, to draw back just short. You say, well, preacher, that just doesn't seem fair. Wait, the Bible said God was being merciful. He was being very merciful to her. The angel took her by the hand and said, hey, come on. Don't look back. Whatever you do, just keep looking forward. That's all she had to do. Come on, let's go. I mean, her own husband lingered, the Bible says. Angel had to grab him and pull him out. I can tell you this, and I believe this with all my heart. As Lot saw his wife turn into a pillar of salt, I guarantee he wished he'd have been more faithful. I can promise you, he wished he would have read his Bible more and had devotions with his wife and talked to her about her soul. He knew the truth. He lived with Abraham. He knew about the sacrifice. He knew all those things. And he believed those things in his own heart. But he did not teach them to his family. And I guarantee as his wife is a pillar of salt, dead. I mean, just as dead as the folks in Sodom and Gomorrah. He wished he'd have done more. I just wonder how many Christians. I watch it. You've watched it. We've all seen it. I stand at the head of a casket. And I watch people come. And I'm always looking at people's eyes, and I'm thinking, I wonder what they're thinking. So many times I've heard people whisper, I love you. I wish I had told you while you were alive. Or I've heard people talking about all kinds of different things. I wish I'd have told you this while you were alive. I guarantee Lot is the guy, as his wife is there as a pillar of salt. I guarantee he's thinking in his heart, maybe saying with his lips, I wish I would have just been a better Christian to you. Of course, Lot, you could have been a better Christian to all of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Remember Lot's wife? She wasn't prepared. She wasn't saved. What if the rapture took place? Many times I'm up here on the platform and I'm looking out and I'm thinking, what if the rapture took place? Who in this congregation would be left here? Oh, it breaks my heart. It ought to break your heart. Hey, folks, this is all real. This is the Bible. This is what God told us. And I often wonder, who would be left behind? Who would it be? Who's come to church maybe for years and been a decent person but has never trusted Jesus as their Savior? Remember Lot's wife? Probably if you'd have talked about some of the most outstanding citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife would have been one of them. And she perished. Don't ever get the idea that, just because somebody says they're all right, just because they say they're a good person, just because they say, well, I go to church, just because they say, well, I grew up in church, just because they say, well, my dad was a preacher or my dad was a deacon or my dad was a Sunday school teacher, just because they say anything other than, you know what, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm born again. I've asked Jesus into my heart. He's forgiven me. My sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the right answers. And you know, if you have a loved one, if you have a relative, you have somebody, they're watching you. You know what they want to know? They want to know, is it real? That's why I believe with all my heart, Lot's family mocked. They laughed at their dad. They looked at him like, "Are you? Come on, this is the first we've heard about God. You don't talk about God. You don't live like someone who loves God. You don't live like someone who really believes God's going to deal with sin. Come on, Lot, you've been going along with everything. What are you telling us this stuff for?" Don't be a person that regrets how your life has been among the lost. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking, no one's talking, no one's disturbing people. But listen carefully, please. I'm going to just ask a couple questions. First of all, how many here could say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There is no doubt about it. If I were to die right now, I know that I'd go to heaven." Would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? You know you're saved. No doubt about it. You know you're going to heaven. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I am not going to point anyone out. But maybe you're here today and you'd say, "Preacher, I could not raise my hand. I do not know whether I'm saved, but I'd like you to pray for me." Is there someone like that today? You'd say, "Preacher, I am not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me." Raise your hand, please. All over. Just slip it up. Say, "Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven." Is there someone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I'm already saved. I know that, but God has spoken to my heart today as a Christian. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? All over. As a Christian, God's spoken to my heart. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the Word of God. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be, first of all, saved, to know for sure that we're going to heaven. And I pray that everybody in this room, when they walk out of here, they know it. And then I pray, God, that we'll be a good example, that we'll live the kind of life that you want us to live, that we'll be holy, as Brother Gibbs preached last week, that we'll be different, and that people will see Christ in us. And Lord, that it might be exactly what somebody's looking for. Who knows what they need to do next by trusting Christ. Bless the invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Number 3 in your hymnal, number 3, Jesus paid it all. You have a decision to make today. Do not hesitate. The altar is open if you need to pray about something. You come as we sing on the first verse.
I hear the Savior say, "All to Him I owe.
come. God's speaking to your heart. There's still time.
Can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the invitation's still open. Many have come. If you need to come, God's speaking to your heart about something, come, pray about it. Maybe as I was preaching, you thought about some loved one, somebody you work with, someone that's maybe a neighbor. And you just kind of wonder, are they saved? What if the rapture took place? Would they be left behind? Remember Lot's wife. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. Amen. Look up this way, please. We have Derek, Stephanie Helinski and their family. They're coming to unite with our church. They're moving their letter from Cornerstone Baptist Church in Blissfield, and we're delighted to have them. All in favor of them joining, let it be known with a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. And why don't you folks, if you'll go on out in the foyer and want all of our folks to shake hands with them, welcome them into the church, and everybody except Michael. I told Derek I was kind of hesitant because Michael was standing with him, but we're just getting rid of him. We're sending him off to college. But anyway, good to have the Helinskis. What a blessing to have them here, and that is exciting. So make sure you shake hands with them. Don't forget tonight, ensemble at 4:30, and everything else, 5 o'clock. I believe everything's going on as planned. Several meetings after the service tonight. Work scholarship, crucial that you be here. Dale Stewart has all kinds of information for those of you involved in work scholarship, and you definitely will need to be in the meeting tonight. Brother Dale, why don't you come close in prayer for us, please?
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message we heard this morning. Help every one of us apply it to our hearts and our lives. Help us set the example for our loved ones and for our neighbors so that they can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you, and bring us back tonight in Christ's name. Amen.